WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. A combination of tax increases and budget cuts of $8 billion are being proposed by a group of Chicago businessmen to fix Illinois' finances. The Civic Committee of the Commercial Club of Chicago yesterday called for increasing the state's individual income tax rate to 5.95% from 4.95% and the corporate tax rate to 8% from 7%, among some other suggestions as well. The conservative think tank Illinois Policy Institute also out with some suggestions for the state budget in a report called Budget Solutions 2020, a five-year plan to balance Illinois' budget, pay off debt, and cut taxes. We're happy to have with us Adam Schuster this morning, Director of Budget and Tax Research at the Illinois Policy Institute. Adam, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Oh, so what's the headline here? I know there are lots of different ideas floating around out there, but a balanced budget in 2020 sounds good, and getting rid of these unpaid bills sounds nice as well. What's the solution? What's the bitter pill here?
Well, you outlined the alternative there, which is really just massive tax hikes, and it's more of the same. I mean, Illinois hasn't had a truly balanced budget since at least 2001, and we've had several tax increases since then, a temporary income tax increase in 2011 that was made permanent in 2017. People are being asked to pay more for less because most of that money is not going to increase services. It's going towards debt service, and it's going towards paying off the pension debt itself. And so, it's immoral at this point to ask taxpayers to pay more. We've had four straight years of population loss. We're losing residents at a rate of 314 people per day, and they're not going to stick around to pay a higher tax burden and get less. And that's why Governor J.B. Pritzker has actually promised to balance his first two budgets without an income tax increase until he can get a progressive tax on the ballot. And so what Budget Solutions 2020 does is it gives him a path towards structural spending reform, how he can adjust the biggest cost drivers of the budget, pay down that debt, and actually get to an income tax cut at the end of the five-year period if he so chooses.
One of the big parts of this is pension reform. That's going to be the hard one that I'm really pessimistic about anybody solving because it's so big. Give us a sense of how big this problem is and what Illinois Policy Institute's suggestion is here.
Sure. So it is a massive problem. It's $133 billion at least among the five state systems, according to the state's official numbers. They've got a funding ratio of about 40%, which means they only have 40 cents on hand to pay every dollar that has been promised. And so what we've proposed as a solution is a constitutional amendment that would bring our protections in line with some other states, but still leave very strict protections for pension benefits. And the way that we do that is by creating a distinction between already earned or accrued pension benefits and the future growth rate in pension benefits. So we're talking about giving the state the flexibility to change things like the cost of living adjustment going forward. Right now, retirees get a guaranteed 3% compounding. It's not tied to inflation. So really, like Mayor Emanuel said when he endorsed a constitutional amendment, it's not a cost of living adjustment right now. It's just a guaranteed post-retirement raise. And so we'd like to be able to peg that to inflation. And for younger workers, those under the age of 45, you gradually raise the retirement age along with this COLA, and you put a cap on the maximum pensionable salary that somebody can get. So it's really talking about bringing the future Tier 1 benefits in line with the Tier 2 benefits that the state has already established, which are more in line with what taxpayers can afford. And just by keeping our promises to retirees, allowing them to keep what they've earned to date, but changing the future growth rate, we can actually solve this problem and save ourselves between $1.1 and $1.5 billion per year in the interim while paying the debt off faster than planned under current law.
What is the appetite, do you think, among lawmakers in the General Assembly for doing something big like this?
Well, the great thing about Budget Solutions 2020 is all of these ideas have received bipartisan support report at some point in the past. So our pension solution, for example, is very similar to the pension reform plan that was passed in 2013 through a Democratic-controlled supermajority General Assembly. It was signed by a Democratic governor, but because of the Constitution and the way that that clause has been interpreted, it was struck down. So what we're talking about doing is changing the Constitution to give lawmakers the flexibility to do what they've already tried to do. Other things that are in Budget Solutions 2020, like asking state government workers to pay a more reasonable share of their own health insurance costs, something that's more in line with the private sector. That was proposed by Governor Quinn and Governor Rauner. So this is something that has also had bipartisan support. And even with the Democratic control in the legislature, bipartisan ideas are very important. Governor Pritzker himself has called for ideas from all corners, and he wants a bipartisan package. And so that's what we've given him here in this document.
One of the other components of the plan is regards education funding, putting more funds dedicated to classrooms, kind of reducing the bureaucracy, the money in bureaucracy, through maybe lowering the number of school districts, consolidating the number of school districts. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. That's an idea that's so far getting a wonderful reception in Springfield from both Democrats and Republicans, because the numbers just don't lie. Right now, Illinois spends about double the national average on general administrative costs per student, and general administrative costs are that top layer of administration, superintendents, assistant superintendents, and their staff. And the reason we spend so much more on general administration is because we have too many school districts. We serve too few students per school district. If we served the same number of students per school district as just the national average, we would have about 25% less school districts than we have right now. We have about 852. We'd have somewhere in the range of 600 to 650. And so doing that, reducing the number of school districts will make sure that more of the money we spend on education actually makes it to the classroom, where it can be spent on students, supplies, more money for teachers, or more teachers, so we can bring down the, you know, student-teacher ratio, things that actually matter to education. And this will help us get a better bang for our buck with education, you know, hopefully improving education outcomes. That's what the data shows has happened in other states, while actually saving money compared to the baseline and what we're currently planning to spend on K through 12 education. Because the funding formula, while it did many good things, right now envisions just dumping in more raw dollars, essentially $350 million per year for the next several years. And we're saying we should increase the amount of money we're spending on education. It's a very important component of what the state does. But let's just grow the education budget at about the rate of inflation, but direct more of the dollars towards students and classrooms rather than to, you know, sort of six-figure bureaucrats who also come along with very hefty pension benefits and retiree health care benefits.
The bottom line is that Illinois Policy Institute plan would create a surplus by 2024, $2.1 billion, according to your figures, and also maybe even give us a tax cut in 5 years. What do you say to folks that say that you can't really solve this problem without further tax increases and really painful cuts in some other areas?
I say that they need to look at the plan. I mean, we've laid out a plan here that allows us to structure and reform our spending. It protects our social services. What you'll notice there isn't in this budget is any cuts to social services or other core government services that the state provides. We're really focused on just restructuring these biggest spending items. And all we did is look at which areas of spending are growing fastest, because those are the ones that are driving the budget deficits. And it turns out that pensions have grown since the year 2000 at about a rate of 677%. Government worker health insurance has grown at 244%. K through 12 education is about 73%, and everything else is at about 18%. So there's two numbers there that are much larger than everything else, and so that's where we looked to find cost savings. And as a result, we can, you know, so under the baseline, if we do nothing, we would end this five-year period with about $24 billion in unpaid bills. And like you said, the alternative with the solutions we've laid out here, we would actually end with a surplus that could be used either for a significant deposit into our rainy day fund in the first year, followed by a tax cut in the year after, or however lawmakers chose to use that surplus. But having to figure that out would be a wonderful problem to have, because right now we've been living in sort of a state of perpetual crisis-like budget making, where we're limping along from year to year just trying to make ends meet, and we haven't really had the opportunity to think in the mid to long term about structuring our state spending so that, you know, it's sustainable and that we can provide services to people with a tax burden that doesn't drive people out of the state.
Adam, we have about a minute left. I know former Governor Rauner had been accused of creating budgets that really weren't real, that had reality issues. Do you have hope for the new governor, Pritzker, that perhaps he's going to present a budget that's more in line with the state's problems?
I'm certainly hopeful. I mean, the governor was very critical. The new governor, Governor Pritzker, was very critical of Governor Rauner for, you know, the way budgets were done and budgets were proposed under his tenure. And he sort of laid out a set of constraints for himself. He said that he wants this progressive income tax. We disagree on the progressive income tax. We think it's going to end up being a tax hike on the middle class, and that it's not a good way to solve our problems. But in the interim, he's given himself 2 years where he said he will not do an income tax increase. He's talking about, you know, potentially raising money from expanding gambling in the state and recreational marijuana, but those don't come close to solving even the deficit, much less paying for any of the new spending he's asked for. And so he's called for bipartisan solutions. He's called for solutions from all sides. That's what we've given him here. And we're hopeful that some of these ideas can be incorporated into his budget address, and he can come up with a realistic budget that, you know, pays off our debt and lives within our means and finally gets us out of this year-to-year crisis. I mean, it would be wonderful if by the end of his term he could say that budget making in Illinois was no longer a newsworthy event, because it had just become that easy.
Adam, thank you for being with us this morning. We appreciate your input and insight.
Thank you very much.
Adam Schuster, Director of Budget and Tax Research at the Illinois Policy Institute. You can find more online at illinoispolicy.org.